There are lots of questions left hanging if we start sifting through the details of this captivating story. There are lots of gems we can pick out if we search like magpies amongst its ideas and significances. I hope you'll bear with me if I do a bit of that almost random picking out of bits and pieces for a moment. Most of you will have heard, read this story before many times, I imagine. So probably know it well. But here we go, picking out some random points from it, random pictures and random questions. First, a thought. In John's Gospel, this Samaritan woman was the first evangelist we hear about. Evangelist in terms of taking the message to many other people. So early on in the story, this was the first example of Jesus' message being available for people who were not Jewish, for foreigners, for people who were pretty dodgy all round as far as the Jewish establishment saw them. Anyway, pictures. A man exhausted. A very human man, in other words, with his human weakness, sitting tired out by a well. Picture. A woman trudging up to the well, carrying her empty bucket in the heat of the day. At a time no normal people would come. A woman coming to collect her water from a well far outside the town, when in fact there was water to be had in that town. Another picture we might imagine, the bucket. In the end, perhaps we can think it may have been there, left there, lying empty by the well, as the woman rushes down to the village, now a container herself of living water. Another picture, Sychar, that rare area in Palestine where at the right time of year, then and still today, waving corn could be found in abundance. Picture, people streaming up from the village to see what this previously shunned woman was talking about. And questions again. Those disciples, why did it take 12 grown men to go and buy a loaf of bread in the local town? You really can imagine them like a herd of rather fractious sheep sometimes. We can only guess, but perhaps on this occasion, it was a herd of sheep whose shepherd, tired from the journey, we are told, but perhaps, who knows, also tired from their bickering, questioning, grumbling, had said in exasperation, "Give us a break for an hour, go and do a bit of shopping, the lot of you." Maybe. And a question. Did those disciples come across the woman trudging her way up from the village as they went down to it? And if they did, what did they do? Probably not stopped to speak to her. Carried on looking the other way. No way were they going to have anything to do with a dirty Samaritan woman. Or is that being quite unfair? After all, in the earlier days, no way would they have thought of buying, let alone eating, Samaritan food. So they must have already come a fair way in their understanding with Jesus. As you'll gather, this isn't a sermon as such, more of a reflection on this wonderful story. First, on the encounter of Jesus with the woman. As I mentioned, she could be seen as the first evangelist, at least in John's Gospel. A long conversation, rather oblique, lots of misunderstandings, some of them apparently deliberate. Where is this water? But at the end, she goes rushing back down to the village, shouting, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" Did Jesus tell her everything she'd ever done? Obviously not in the story as we have it, though we can be sure there was more said than those bones that we have heard read and that John is able to fit into his gospel. But he certainly made her feel as if he told her everything she'd ever done. He made her feel that he knew her inside out and that he understood her completely. That he accepted her as she was. How must that have felt to someone living perhaps as an outcast from her own society? And those words of her at the end of her breathless report to the villagers. "He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They're interesting. She's not 100% sure herself. She's still questioning. There is a mixture of doubt and faith. But the people are a lot more definite by the end of the story. They said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said we believe, for we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world." The Saviour of the world. They end up with even more faith than the woman had to start with. And another gem to come out of that story. Isn't that so often the way of things? We share our faith with someone because we're excited by it, perhaps. It's taken hold of us. Even though we still have some doubts, some uncertainties, some things we don't understand. But we end up, hopefully, with the people we've shared it with convinced. And with ourselves more certain than even before, because of the very act of sharing it. Here we have a woman who's gone from apparently being a social outcast with all the feelings of rejection and misery that went with that, to somebody who felt understood, accepted, from a woman whose religion was confused and partial to a woman of faith. "Come and see," the woman says to the villagers. They see her early faith already shining through her. "Come and see," she says. Do you remember? It's just what Jesus said to two of his future disciples when they asked to know where he lived. And another reflection on harvest, on God's harvest. Jesus says to the disciples who are getting all confused about food once more, "Do not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest. But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labour. Others have laboured and you have entered into their labour." Again and again, Jesus uses the natural world to make his points, to draw on as the source of his parables. Normally, he's saying that God's kingdom is like some part of nature, a mustard seed, or a man sowing seed. But here he's drawing on a contrast with nature. In Sychar, the farmer would have had to wait about 4 months between sowing and reaping the corn. Jesus quotes the proverb about one sows and another reaps. "That's quite different from these Samaritan people," says Jesus. "Here are the people ready already to be harvested, without all the groundwork having to be done over the months and years before. Here they are ready to be plucked for God, like ripe corn, like ripe fruit from a tree." In Samaria, that most unlikely of places, The people were there ready to know God as soon as someone introduced him to them. Unlike, perhaps Jesus was thinking again, those oh-so-religious people back in the synagogues at home. So here, early in John's Gospel, we have a story, strange in many ways, and even stranger to those who heard it first of all. Strange still to all those who took part, except for Jesus. But this short story is about so much that is key to our human faith. It's about accepting other people as they are and being accepted ourselves. It's about understanding and coming to understand. It's about evangelism. It's about salvation. It's about doubt and faith. Wow, what a story to begin the passage of God's message through Christ across the world. Amen.